Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
God is a good God.
Amen.
Okay, our verse was, God of our fathers hath chosen you. All right, we talked about the privilege of being chosen. And now the purpose, the first one, to know his will. So important that we should know his will, all right? So let's look here. The first thing that we're going to find out about knowing his will is that God has called us to a holy calling. We must understand that. In the day and age that we're living right now, everything is so unclean and unholy, and it's sad that Christians are being caught up in it, you know, through the computer, through the TV, you know, the pornography is rampant. And you'd just be surprised how many Christians are indulging in it because they think nobody knows. Huh? It's just their own personal thing. I want you to know we belong to God, body, soul, and spirit. We're not our own, remember? And you know, to defile our minds, because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. All right? So to defile our mind is just as bad or worse than just going out and doing something bad. Just that people don't know it till we're in too much problems. Let's read this verse, 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works. It has nothing to do with how hard we've worked or tried or our efforts, but according to his own purpose and grace. When God calls us, he had a purpose, all right? And when he called us, it had to do with his grace. Now, when God said to Moses, you have found grace in my sight, that means you found favor. I accept you. I'm pleased with you. All right? That's favor. But many times, just like it says here, according to his own purpose and grace. Grace is here, not just his favor. All right? Many times it says Jesus was full of grace. And of his grace have we received, and grace for grace. You know, we keep drawing grace. It's not just favor. It's talking about something else. In that light, I will tell you, I don't know where to find it, but in studying all the Bible, I've come to this conclusion. Grace is the life of God. You don't deserve it. Yeah. I learned in Bible school the definition of grace is the unmerited favor of God. Well, that's true. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. And yet God gives you his favor, his grace. That's true. But that doesn't answer other things like this, all right? That Jesus is full of grace and we're to draw on his grace. It's more than just the favor of God, all right? It is literally his life, his ability, all right? And whenever you see that, the grace of God, it's his life. It's his ability. It's his strength. It's his wisdom. It's his know-how. It's grace. You don't deserve any of it. But he, through Jesus, we're able to draw it into our life, all right? It says, which was given us, this purpose and grace, in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, you know, some people think that Jesus was like, are you? God made man and it flubbed up. It didn't work out. So he had to come up with a plan B. And the plan B was Jesus. No, no, no. Before he ever laid the foundations of the world, before he ever created man, it tells us Jesus Christ from before the world began. And another place, Christ crucified, the same thing. you know, that Christ died for us. He was the Lamb of God from before the foundation of the world. It was no second thought, plan B, try to rectify a mistake. He knew what he was doing when he created you and me with a will to choose. He knew that there was a chance you and I were going to say, I want to do my own thing and go our own way. He knew it. I've had people say, why did God make us like this? Trying to put the blame on God. Don't try to blame God. Don't blame God. I remember when we first came from America to Singapore, and we had just a small church, Bethel, and, you know, a group of young people that had gotten saved and so forth. But we had a camera. It was a very expensive camera. He and I did not have that kind of money, but God laid it on somebody's heart in America to... They sent us money and said, this is for you to buy a very good camera, da, 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 da. So we were thrilled. I mean, we would never have been able to get it without that. So we went ahead and got the camera. And then one day, it was missing. Whoa. We looked, and couldn't find it anywhere and came to the conclusion somebody had stolen it. Well, then somebody told us, one of the young men in our church, one of the young fellows, they said, you know, he's been sporting a very expensive camera. We saw him taking pictures with his expensive camera. So my husband, it clicked, you know. He came to church. We lived in the church, you know. It just could be that he had coveted it and maybe took it, you see. So anyways, we went over to his house. He wasn't there, but those that were there, we explained what it was, and they opened his cupboard, and there it was. It was our camera. There it was. So, anyways, when the poor fellow was caught red-handed, all right, you know what he said? Why would God make me do that? Hello? Whoa, why do we all want to blame God for things that we do for our sinful nature? It isn't God. He made us with this will that we can choose to do right or wrong, all right? Anyways, let me give you a little illustration. Because when God made us, it was to have fellowship with him, right? And eventually we're going to be the bride of Christ, right? And how many of you are married? Let me see. Okay. Some of you are, some of you aren't. But those that aren't, you're probably planning to, if the Lord allows. And how many of us that are married, we would like to wake up in the morning and we have a robot for a spouse, you know? I love you. I will try to be a good spouse to you. We don't want that. Somebody that's programmed to say, I love you. No emotion, no feeling. Well, God didn't want a robot either. See? That's why he didn't make you where you automatically have to love him. He wanted somebody that would choose him for himself. Amen. And, you know, he could have hidden it all where we don't know what we're doing, but he openly told us all the benefits when we love him and so forth, see? And people will still choose to go their own way. So don't blame God, all right? It was in Jesus Christ before the foundations of the world. So it says he called us with a holy calling. This is first of all his will, and we're going to talk about this for a while, all right? God is holy. Let's look at 1 Peter, all right, 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. You see, our actions, our daily walk of life fashions us. It changes us. People that live in terrible sin, deep sin, you will see when they were babies, they had such a soft, nice face. But as time goes on, their face gets hardened. Have you ever seen people? I've seen people. I wouldn't want to meet them at night. Just so hard, so cruel looking, you know. Because of their lifestyle, they have hardened themselves. But some of those, when they come to Jesus and he wipes the past away, and they start, you know, changing their thoughts and changing their lifestyle, that hardness goes away and their face gets soft again. Yeah. It's amazing, all right? So it says, don't fashion yourself according to those former lusts, those former desires. You were ignorant of the right way. You didn't have the light, so don't do that, all right? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. This is the old English word, which means lifestyle. In everything you do, because God is holy, we must be holy. He's called us with a holy calling. He wants us to have a holy life. There's no way you can be holy and not be a child of God. If you're a child of God, there's an ability now to be like God is, and he wants us to be like that. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's very, very clear. Not everybody, though, grows up knowing right from wrong. That's why those of us who were born, you know, in a Christian line, we have a lot to thank God for, because whether we really know God or not, we've learned a lot of rights and wrongs. But sometimes people don't know things are right and wrong, all right? And there was this man years and years ago in Singapore. The British servicemen were stationed in Singapore. And so we had quite a few of them that came to our church and began to attend church. And there was one young man, he was from the Isle of Man, I remember. He was a big fellow. And he brought his friend. His friend's name was Len. Now, Len came from a totally non-Christian background, all right? And we didn't know anything about him except that he did not know God. And he came and he really accepted God. He not only accepted God, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was quite amazing, you know. And I'm not the type to pry. Now, I know there are some pastors that I don't think they're prying, but by the time they've been around you 5 minutes, they know more about you than I know after I've been around you for 5 years, you know. Because I don't probe. And in that day, my husband or I, neither one of us really talked to him. We probably should have, but we didn't really know where he was coming from. So what we didn't know was he was a drinker and he had a mistress. He was keeping a Chinese woman, paying for the rent, and then he would, whenever he felt the need, he went to his own mistress house that he was paying the rent for. So after he gets saved, after he gets filled with the Holy Spirit, see, had we known, we would have told him, hey, now you're a Christian, that's a no-no. You don't want to go that direction anymore. You need to cut things, you see. But we didn't know, so he wasn't taught, and he hadn't read the Bible, and he didn't know all that. So one fine day, he decides to go pay a visit to his mistress, and he merrily goes in the house. They go into the bedroom, and her back is like this against the bed. The bed is behind, and he's coming this direction. He puts his arms around her, all right, to start loving on her. And just when he does that, the Holy Spirit just came strong and said to him, "You can't do this anymore. You belong to me." Well, he got a shock of his life. He told the testimony. He was so shocked by what he had heard. He just gave her a push. She landed on her back on the bed, and he turned and he just ran out of there. Later he came back and he tried to explain why he had done that. He said, "You know, I'm a Christian now. I've believed in Jesus, and my God just told me I can't do this anymore." So he tried to persuade her to come and be a Christian. Well, she didn't want anything to do with it. And that's another story. I'm just telling you this story because God himself showed that young man. And he just cut it clean. because the voice of God was so strong. You can't do this anymore. That's why I find it hard to understand how, if people are really born again, that they're not hearing the voice of God telling them that some of the things they're doing, maybe they hear it and they just don't want to listen. I don't know what it is, but nevertheless, it says we need to, all right, be holy because he's holy. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your body. You present your bodies a living sacrifice. We talked about that yesterday. Holy, acceptable unto God. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, all right, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, I'm going to talk about these two words. Be not conformed. Do you know what conform means? Have you ever heard of plaster of Paris? You know, it's kind of a white stuff. And you pour it into a mold. And then it takes the shape of that mold. And then you dump it out. And it looks just like that mold. That's what this is saying. Don't be conformed. Don't let the world pour you into its mold. And they try to. You know, styles, hairstyles, clothes styles. Like, say if the clothes are up to here. You know, I've seen some pretty wild things lately. I look around. This one girl, good night. She had this, it looked like all she's wearing was a blouse. And in the airport, you know, that's where I saw it. I was standing in line. I couldn't help but see her. You know, just a blouse. But then when she turned around, I thought, oh, she had these shorts, so short, we call them hot pants. Like they've been torn off, you know, and then the blouse just came below that. So when she walked, it just looked like she was wearing a blouse and nothing else, you know. I don't know. Anyways, don't get me on that subject. When the world's way is to have something short, then they won't make anything long. See, only that. It's like trying to force you. This is a style. You buy it. You fit into it. We don't have to fit into the world. So everybody else is doing it. Let them do it. The best thing is to say, Lord, would you do it? Would you behave like this? And I don't want to step on any toes, but I have seen people, I mean, they look like somebody put an electrical current under them and the hair went. And then all colors, you know, like white and yellow and black and green and orange, like that. And they'll be up there leading worship. And I just, oh my God, what have we come to? You know. Can you see Jesus walking around like that? Really? Yes, it's the latest style. Yes, all my peers. But they're unbelievers. They do things to attract attention to themselves. We do things to attract. And don't say, oh, you're an old lady. I used to be young, believe it or not. Yeah, I was a teenager at one time. We have to do things to attract attention to the Lord, not to ourselves. Let's understand this. Our bodies are not our own. Now it's the latest thing is to tattoo your body. Do you have a right to do that? Is your body your own? Oh, they'll tattoo Jesus loves me. Don't use spiritual things. When the Bible distinctly says, don't mark up your body. Be separate. Be different because you belong to me. Yeah. So don't be conformed to the world, all right? But be what? Transformed. Transformed is a word that we would use when a caterpillar changes into a butterfly. That's the transformation. Looks totally different. What it eats, how it behaves, what it desires. It's a totally different creature. You know, caterpillars. I don't like them. And they used to have them in China. There was a tree out there, a date tree, dates, you know, not the kind of dates that we eat from Saudi Arabia and like that. Not that kind. This is a brown. The meat inside was green. The outside was a beautiful tan brown. And it was hard. It would crunch, crunch, you know. Oh, delicious. But it had a caterpillar that would climb on that, you know, that the trunk of the tree and on the branches. You went to pluck some of those, and if it touched you, it had all hairs. And if those hairs touched you, I mean, you swelled up. It turned red. It stung. It was almost like they were there, a prickly pear, you know, don't touch these fruit. It belongs to me, you know, and you try and I'll just let you have it. But the caterpillar that turns into a butterfly, once it comes out of the cocoon, it has wings, it's beautiful, it soars up into the heavens. That's the transformation that's talked about here. Be totally changed, completely transformed. How? By the renewing, letting your mind, your thinking to be totally renewed. To think differently. Before you thought like the world. You thought like everybody else. But after you come to God, as you begin to read God's word, you begin to exchange your thinking for God's thinking. And the more that you take in God's thinking, the more your lifestyle changes. People can see it. And if they can't, I just wonder if you've ever touched God. You might have made an outward profession, you know. Oh, Jesus, come into my heart. And you think you have a fire insurance policy, you know, a protection. I don't have to go to hell now. But it doesn't touch my life. I don't change. I'm still the same as I used to be. Still tell lies, still cheat, still do this. No, 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 no. When you've really touched God, when you've been born again, that nature, that it's Christ's nature, it wants different things. It wants God. It wants the presence of God. And when it does, you know, when things go wrong, it's not comfortable. It's miserable. So, okay, notice what Hebrews 12:14. How important is this holiness, all right? How important is it? Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. There it is, very clear. I'm telling you, we have to have holiness in our life. Otherwise, and it's not an outward thing, it's within. Being. And it has to do with our inner man. And as a result of being holy, we will choose the right things to do. So you don't do, and inside you're still different. I'm thinking of a man, and this is a true story. He was a deacon, a board member, an elder in a church that was the same denomination I am. And the pastor told this. He was, quote, unquote, spirit-filled. Okay? But one day, and he was a painter. Not painting pictures, but painting houses. He didn't work for a company. He was on his own, and he would get a contract to do somebody's house. So he spent hours alone. He was a family man. He had a wife, and he had children, all right? And alone where he could just think, all right? But in his private life, he had been watching pornography. He had been watching a lot of stuff to do with, you know, molesting children. He had children of his own. He never touched his own. And he never did. He just would daydream about it. Hello? No wrong in that. Just daydream. But one day, a little child was passing by, and suddenly something took over, and he did what he was thinking about. The police caught him. He was thrown into jail. And when the pastor came, he said, "Brother, I'm not trying to condemn you. I just want to understand. How? How? And that's when it all came out that he was watching this unclean stuff. Eventually, it took over. Friends, I tell you, we must realize we have to be clean. We have to be holy before God. All right? Inside, our thinking, our attitudes, our ways, our talk, all of that. God wants us to be holy. All right? And without it, we won't see the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Look at this one. It says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. When we become a child of God, now we're not to live to please ourselves. There's a certain walk about us. I'm not talking about, oh, you know, get a huge Bible, put it under your, you know, wear black hat, wear black clothes, and let everybody know I'm a holy. I'm not talking of that. That's rubbish. You don't have to do that. When you are living for God, it tells us the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but how does it go? Righteousness, to have a right type of living. Righteousness, peace, that's internal, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you're right with God, your heart is full of joy. When you're right with God, there's such a peace in your own heart. You have peace with God, you have peace with your fellow man, you're at peace with yourself. Amen. I didn't like myself when I was growing up at all. On one hand, you do like yourself. That's why you cater to yourself. But I hated myself. See? I had a violent temper. Okay? And I remember this one time when I was a teenager in America. We'd already come back from China. And whatever I had said or done, my father reprimanded me. And he said, Margaret, don't behave like that. That's not in keeping with a Christian walk and life. And then from being angry, I turned around and I started to laugh. And I laughed and I said, Daddy, you don't understand. I'm born like this. You know what that meant? I never planned to change. This is me. This is me. You know, we'll say, come just as you are. You worship God just as you are. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's why it says, lifting up holy hands. Hello? Those hands, if they're given to fighting and slapping people and mouths, poop, 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 you know. No, no, no. James says it shouldn't have sweet water and bitter water coming out of the same fountain. They come out of different fountains. Said it ought not to be. No, no, no. There's so much in God's word for us to understand. And you know, I was a missionary before I began to understand about this horrid temper of mine. See? You know what God used? I was the one that would go out and knock on doors. I was the one that went out in the streets and stopped people and witnessed to them and try to drag them into the church and persuade them to come to church. And if you ask the people in the church, how did you become a Christian? They would all say, Sister Seward talked to me. Sister Seward dealt with me. Sister Seward came to my house. Sister Seward spent time with me. It was all the same answer. I was the one that did it in our family. But then they would leave the church, you know, come in the front door and go out the back door. Hello? After a while, you ask them, why did you leave? Same answer, Sister Seward. And you know, when I started hearing that over and over, I was the cause. My temper, my tongue, my ways was driving people away. I understood. I got down and I repented. I said, my God, change me. I heard you're transformed when you come to Jesus, but somehow I never thought I would ever be different. But you can be different. Amen. And when you're different, then you attract people. and they remain in Christ when you bring them to Christ. Amen. Oh, it's so important that we should know how to walk in order to please God. All right. Let's go here in this 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Listen to what it says. For this is the will of God. You want to know what God's will is? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. I looked up that word. It means purity, holiness. That's God's will, that you should be pure and holy. All right? That you should what? Abstain from fornication. Do you know what that word abstain means? We have two words. We have a word called temperate. Temperance. Have you ever heard of that? And my sister told me that one pastor told her, temperance is you have a box of nuts, you only eat one. That's overdoing it a little bit, but it means you know when to stop. You can eat some, it's okay, but you don't just wallop the whole box. That's being temperate. But abstain means don't touch one. Cut it. Have nothing to do with it. Withhold yourself from it. It says that you should abstain from fornication. I'm going to talk about fornication for a while. This is something we don't like to talk about. And I was taught in Bible school, you never teach on something like this. You never make a sermon on it. And I remember the day that God told me, and it happened to be in Perth. That was maybe 40 years ago in a big church. He told me I was to preach on it. And I said, God, I was taught you don't do that. God says, you walk before me. And I remember preaching on it. And when I told them, those of you who know you have a problem, I want you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. You know, the pastor got up and says, no, we're not going to pray here. We're going down in the basement and praying down there. And I remember feeling, good night. I don't even know if I'll be anointed when by the time I walk all the way downstairs. There's a heavy anointing right now. You know, I wanted to do it right there. No, he was so wise. Of course, I never said anything. I'm a guest. I just kept quiet, you know, and I went down. But I was just saying, God, you're going to have to take over because I don't feel any anointing. By the time I got down there and they had a row of, I call them bucket seats. You know what? Like it sinks down like this. They were sunk down in these, you know. So I told them just what I felt. I said, if you're looking for me to give you something, I have nothing. I feel nothing. The God that told you to come forward for prayer, we're going to look to him and expect him to do something. And when I began to pray, I mean, I heard shrieks and yells, and I saw this girl's body come out of that bucket chair like a cannon. Boom! Gave her a shot, and her body went like that, landed in the middle of the circle and began to writhe like a serpent. Whoa, you didn't have to tell me. I knew there was a spirit there. So I got down by her, and just then this older man came, and he knelt there. And my heart was thinking, old man, what are you doing here? You know, what are you coming around? And it was like he read my thoughts, you know. He said, just to let you know, I'm her father. And he said, I'm an elder in this church. He was shocked. He was horrified. I just whispered in her ear, and I came against those spirits, unclean spirits that came out of her. And she was just as normal, happy, and so thankful that she'd been. What was she doing? She was involved in fornication. Now, this word fornication in our ideas is just having sex before marriage. But this is the Bible. It comes from the Greek. And when you look up the word in the Greek, at porneia, it's called porneia, it covers every form of immorality. Fornication, adultery, incest, that means with relatives, all right? Homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, doing it with, it covers the whole gamut. So what it's saying here is God's will is for us to be holy, and that should not be once in our lives, whether it's sex before marriage, whether it's sex with the same, man and man or woman and woman, which is so acceptable today, even in the schools. It is terrible. All right? But no, if you want to walk with God, and God has chosen us, He's chosen us out of the world, out of the way that the world does it. And He told the children of Israel, the reason I don't want you doing it is because you belong to me. I'm a holy God. I want to dwell in the midst of you. And if you want to behave the way the rest of the people do, I drove them out because of these sins. That's why He drove the Amorite, the Hittite, the Hivite, all those, in the Old Testament. He said, I drove them out because of these sins. Don't learn from them. Don't do the same thing. Why? Because I'll drive you out as well. Friends, don't do it. I don't care. And don't believe the lie, but I was born this way. The devil lies, especially with homosexual and lesbian. They will tell him, you were born like this. You were born. No, it's a spirit. And when that spirit is cast out, you don't have those desires anymore. Otherwise, how come? Whether you're white, red, yellow, black, meaning from all over the world, they all act the same way. They all do. I don't care what religion, what race they are. They all have the same mannerism. They all sound the same. No, it's a spirit. And when that spirit's cast out, they become normal. They become the way God made them. Amen. So it says here, all right, you need to abstain, have nothing to do with it, that every one of you, not some, should know how to possess or lay hold of his vessel. I looked that one up. All right. It's a common Greek metaphor for body that you need to under. It also means wife, but the majority here are not married. It just means, learn to control your own body. All right. In sanctification, in holiness, in purity and honor. What does that mean? It means it's something precious. It's something valuable. All right. Because of the price that was paid for it. That's exactly what it said in the Greek, the rendering that was given for it. In honor. Consider your body as valuable. It's precious. It took how precious is it? It took the very lifeblood of Jesus Christ. That's how precious it is. Now recognize that and hold your body in honor. If you pay 5 cents for something or you pay $5,000 for something, which are you going to take the better care of? The $5,000 item, you're going to be more careful with it. A 5 cent ball, a 10 cent ball, throw up. If it drops in the water, never mind. I can go buy another one for 10 cents. But if it's like $15,000, are you going to throw it and let it take a chance of smashing someplace? No, getting lost. No. You will protect it. So it says, honor your body, knowing the price that was paid for you by Jesus Christ. All right. Not in the lust of concupiscence, all right, which the Gentiles, they don't know God. That's why. Verse 7, for God hath not called us to uncleanness, but to holiness. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 6:18. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It says here, flee fornication. Do you remember a person in the Bible that did that in the Old Testament? Joseph. His boss had made him steward of everything. And then that wife, I don't know what kind of a wife she was, but of course, she didn't know God. She looked at this young man so handsome and she just kept trying to seduce him. He didn't want. One day, nobody's there. She literally forced him. She grabbed him. And he said to her, don't. He said, your husband has given me everything to be over. But he never gave you to me. You're his wife. But how can I sin against God? Hello? How can I sin against God in doing something like this? And when she pulled on him, he just got out of his jacket or his shirt or whatever it was and ran. He just ran from the scene and left that shirt. And that was her evidence. She, oh, yeah. And then she started screaming at the top of her lungs. People came, oh, that Hebrew that my husband brought, he tried to attack me. Forget it. You tried to attack him. Yeah. But then she told her husband, and the husband believed her. She was such a liar, but he believed her because she was his wife. And he became so angry, and the result of, you know, Joseph doing right, he ended up in prison. Sometimes you don't get repaid for doing right. So don't look for the world to be fair. It's not fair. But God keeps records. God knows everything. Isn't that right? All right. So it says, run away. Every sin that you do is without your body. But the one that commits any kind of immorality sins against his own body. You know why? Through immorality, demons come into your body. That's why. All right. This is one of the sins in the Old Testament that they were told to stone them, kill them, because I don't want demons infesting my camp. Not every sin were they stoned to death, but the immorality, they were stoned to death for it. What does it say? You're not. All right. What? Verse 19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That Holy Ghost is in you, and God's the one that gave it to you, and you don't belong to yourself. You're bought with a price, so you need to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. So I'm telling you, our bodies are very, very important. What we do with our body is very important, because we've got to realize it's not our own, all right? And I want to tell you that there's safety in holiness. There's safety in doing things God's way. All right. Isaiah 35 verse 8 says, a highway is going to be there, and it's going to be called the way of holiness. It's high. It's much higher than the way of the world. All right. But it says the unclean won't be there. Verse 9, no lion is going to be there. No ravenous beast. In other words, demons don't, they can't get there. If you're on God's road of holiness, there's safety. Amen. There. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story. This is when I first went to Singapore. It's a lot different now. It's quite a beautiful place. But when I went, it wasn't that beautiful. They didn't have all the beautiful grill work and like that. They just had iron bars, either going this way or going this way on the windows. And so I remember we lived in a missionary's home. We were going to take over the work, so they gave us one bedroom. They had the other one. And I just told my husband, I said, I just feel like I'm in a prison. Every time I look, iron bars at the window. Yo, I feel like I'm a prisoner. What have I done to merit being a prisoner? I looked at those bars, and they, I didn't like them. I didn't like them. Till one morning, when we woke up, under the window was my husband's trousers laying on the floor. And I said to my husband, were you so tired that you just dropped out of your pants and went to bed and left them there? No, he said, I had them hanging on the chair across the room. I said, then how did they get here? We picked it up. No purse, no money, everything gone out of the pockets, just the pants. And then it clicked. Somebody with a pole and a hook put it through that window, hooked the pants. They took what they wanted, dropped. They didn't want the pants. They dropped them. Wow. I saw those iron bars in a different light. Yo, if not for those iron bars, that whole body would have come into my room. Oh, God, thank you for those iron bars at my window. I never fussed about them again. They were there for my protection. So the laws of God, the rules of God. Sometimes, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. Christians, you know, all do, don't do, don't do. Hey, it's your protection. May God open your eyes. If you obey it, it's like those iron bars. It's keeping the devil out of your life. Amen. Thank God that He's called you and He's given you those bars to keep the enemy out, not to hamper you and keep you in. Amen. Okay, the next thing about that He's called us is His will is centered around Jesus. All right, that's number two. Centered around Jesus. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:4. It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. Remember, we talked about that, which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything, verse 5, you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. There it is. Everything we're enriched. In fact, there's another verse that tells us we're complete in Him. You don't need anything outside of Jesus. All you need is found in Christ. The fullness of the life of God is in Jesus, and you and I can draw from that. It says in all utterance what we need to say. Do you have all the answers? How many of you have all the answers? None of us, but Jesus does. And in Christ, wait on Him. He can give you the right answer. I remember one time when this lady, she was a young girl at that time in our church from a Tamil family. They were Christians, but they were Indian and Christians, all right? But the parents didn't come. Only she came to our church. They went to a nominal church. And she felt the call of God to go to the Bible school. So we had many that went to Bible school. My husband would drive them up there. And when she told her mother that she wanted to go to Bible school, her father was a traveling salesman. He wasn't there. Oh, the mother was upset. She was a music teacher. She taught music, and her money, she, you know, helped support the family. And so the mother was upset. So what the mother did was she got the older daughter's husband, the son-in-law, to be the man of the house, to be the spokesman. So they came, the whole gang came, and trying to persuade us. We never called her. We're not the ones that told her to go to Bible school. So, you know, it didn't really matter to us that much. But we were trying to give reasons how you'll be blessed. God, she feels God has called her. You'll be blessed if you release her and so forth. But he just bombarded. And it didn't matter what you said, he had an answer, you know. I was just saying, whoa, Lord, this looks like an impossible thing. And then the Lord said to me, ask Him this question. I wish I could remember what it was, but that was years ago. I don't remember what it was. But all I remember is, in my heart, I said, Lord, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about. And if out of the blue we're talking about this, I ask, it's like, hello, where are you coming from? You know, it'll make me look dumb, I said to God. I struggled. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, I know it's you. I'm going to ask Him the question. But I wasn't going to take the blame. That was my pride. And I turned to Him and I said, God is telling me to ask you this question. In other words, if it sounds dumb, it's Him, not me. All right. But the Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. See? So I asked Him this question, and His mouth went. He never answered a word. He just looked at me. He never said a word. He never answered my question. And then everything got dead silent. And then the mother turned him. So what do you say? What do you say? Wanting, like, poke fire, get him going again. He just said very calmly, I think she should go to Bible school. To this day, I don't know what that question had to do with it, but it got him right between the eyes. It did something in there, and his whole stance changed. He had been fighting her going to Bible school. Suddenly, she let her go to Bible school, and she went to Bible school. But why? Because God gave me the utterance. Exactly what to say. It sounded stupid. I didn't want to say it, but it was right on. And God's ways are always right on. Amen. So whatever you need to say, in whatever utterance and in all knowledge, there's some things we don't know. You don't have to go to the encyclopedia. You don't have to go and read textbooks. If it's something you really don't know, but you need to know, Jesus can show it to you. God's will centers around Jesus, that you and I are put into Jesus, and everything we have need of, we can draw from Jesus. Amen. My father was a mechanical engineer in Hawaii. And after he got saved, he used to go be... Well, before he was saved, he was that. And then after he got saved, he had been sent to one plantation to check out on their scales that they weighed the pineapples on. And because somehow the scale would not work. It was wrong. So his boss sent him, Hansen, you go over there, fix the scale. He went over, he did everything that he knew how to do. It still didn't work. And the people complained to the boss. The boss was quite angry. After a couple of attempts, he got my father and he says, Hansen, if you don't fix those scales, I'm firing you. So my father said to him, you don't have to fire me. He said, I am now a believer in Jesus. You give me 24 hours off. I don't come to work. I will seek the face of my God. If he gives me the answer, fine. If he doesn't, you don't have to fire me. I won't show up anymore. Finish. So the boss said, all right. So he got, set his face to seek God. In the night, God gave him a dream. And in that dream, he told him, he said, the scale is this make of a scale. Those weights come from a different make of a scale. Now, you take those weights and showed him with each weight precision, how much to take off of each weight, and it will work on this scale. Showed him that dream. His brain couldn't have thought of that. That was God that showed him. He went the next day, he did it, the thing worked. I'm telling you, there's nothing impossible with God. We need Jesus. The problem is we don't bother to seek him. We don't go to him. We go the natural route instead, all right? It tells us in Christ, Colossians 2:3, in Christ, all right, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all right? He says in Colossians 2:4, this I say, lest any man beguile you, all right? Beguile you with enticing words, verse 8. Don't let anyone deceive you. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, and so forth, all right? And not after Christ, because in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, 10, and you are complete in him. Amen. So we don't need anything other than Jesus. He has the answer to everything, all right? I remember when I was trying to cast a demon out of a demon-possessed young man that was making havoc in a... We had a tent set up, and it was a tent meeting. And we rebuke. It wouldn't go. So I left, and I went in the church. I left, and I went over to the next room, and I just sat there, and I said, God, your word says in your name I can cast out devils. Why isn't this demon leaving? And you know what he said? I had never read it in my life. Now you can read it, but I had never read it. I was a young girl then, and he just told me, he said, You command the leader to give its name. Cast the leader out and all those under it will leave. This one will go with it. You have to get the leader out. God told me that. I went back in. We did it. When we said in Jesus' name, I don't ask what is your name normally. But this time God told me to do it, so I did it. In Jesus' name, I command you to give me the name of the strong man in there. And the name he gave, I don't remember if it was Francisco. It sounded like a human name. It sounded weird, you know. Never mind. God said, you command it to go. We said, in Jesus' name, you get out. And all those under, you get out. And the boy was set free. And I tell you, he went to Hong Kong, studied in a Bible school, became a pastor. Yeah. I'll tell you, God can show you anything. You just have to spend time seeking his face. Amen. All right. Let's go on here. It says, I just have one more major point. All right. This one says, as you have received Christ, verse 6 and 7, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, in other words, have you received Jesus as your Lord, then walk in him like that. Let him be the Lord. Don't just use it with your mouth. Oh, you're my Lord. But if he's your Lord, then obey him. Walk in him. Rooted, built up in him. Third point, Jesus is to be the preeminent one. Do you know what that means? Number one, right? He must be number one, all right? Turn with me to Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, we don't cease to pray for you, to desire you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, all right? That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, all right? And so he is to be the preeminent one, number one in your life. Now, how many of us Jesus is really number one? See, I didn't know how important it is to God. He doesn't want to be second, third. He's a jealous God. He's jealous of having first position. If he isn't the, you know, the head, if he isn't the principal one, then he's not Lord at all. He has to be the Lord of your life. Don't just use it with your mouth. Really let him be first. When I was a little girl, my brother, I had one brother, he taught me how to have hobbies. You know what a hobby is? We collected stamps, we collected coins, different things, all right? Then later, when I became a missionary, also, I said, well, everything I do is using my head. I think I'll have a hobby to kind of give me something to relax in, so to speak. So I think I started with stamps. I hadn't been doing it too long. And I felt the Spirit of God say, no, I don't want you to do this. So I let go of it. After some time, I collected something else, don't know what, something. And I hadn't been in it very long, and here comes the Lord. No. After about the third time, then I got mad inside. And I said to God, do you have something against hobbies? Every time I get a hobby, you tell me no, no. Why? If you have something against hobbies, God, I want you to know, and I pointed at another lady, missionary. She was an elderly one. I'm a young woman in my 20s. She was 70-something. I said, go to Sister Devon. She has five hobbies, God. I was tattletaling. I know because she showed them all to me. She collects this, she collects that, she collects that. She has five hobbies. Why don't you go to her and say, no, no. Now, you know, if I were a mother, I would give you a tight slap for being so rude. God didn't. He knew I was talking nonsense. I didn't know what I was talking about. And he said to me, she has five, but I'm number one. You have won. I lost my place. For her, she can have a hobby. For you, no, you can't have a hobby. Hello? Do you understand? God deals with us as individuals. He must be number one. That's the will of God. He must be first in your life. Anything, whether it's your husband, your wife, your children, your ambition, your hobby, your, you know, whatever. Your car, your job. If it takes first place, God says, no, no, no. If you're going to function properly, my will is I must be first. And then everything else will take its proper place. Shall we bow our heads right now? Spirit of the living God, I just pray, Lord, you not only want to be first, you want us all to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, and you will use anything and everything. All things work together for good. Lord, you let things happen in our life to help us to become more like you. Sometimes we don't understand why things happen the way they do, but you're using it as a means, Lord, to break that outer shell that the life of Christ might flow out of us, that we might become more like him. I pray, Lord, that this truth that we've had today, what is the will of God? That we might know your will. You want to be first. You want us conformed to the image of Christ. But you also want us to be holy because you're holy. How to have fellowship with us if we let ourselves get contaminated? Let ourselves become defiled in our mind, in our attitudes, in our desires, in our ways. Lord, there's no way we can have fellowship with you. Sin cuts us off from you. And your desire and your will is that we should be set apart from sin and set apart unto God for your glory, for your honor, for your will, for your purpose. Help us, Lord. Search our hearts today, Lord. Search our hearts, each and every one. I believe you've already been talking to hearts. And Lord, if you've seen something in someone's life, maybe they're not giving you first place. Maybe there's something in their life that is so important to them and it's like a stranglehold and they don't spend time with you anymore. Lord, maybe it's this thing of immorality. Whatever it is, I pray that you will speak to hearts and that we will repent before you and ask you to forgive us. And now that you've given us light, that we will begin to walk in the light that you have given us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, don't look around. All right? If God is speaking to you about anything concerning what you've heard this morning, maybe even about the early morning one, and you just want to really deal with it, just put your hand up and put it down. By that hand, yes, 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 yes. It won't be the same thing. Each person, what God speaks is totally different. Anybody else besides those, yes. God's speaking to you, yes, yes. And you just, because, yes, you may put your hand down right. Father, you've seen each and every hand that was raised. Lord, I thank you because your Holy Spirit is right on. You've spoken to me so many times, but through it all, I've learned to know you more. Through it all, I've become more like you. And you're going to do the same for each and every one that's raised their hand. Whatever you've spoken to them right now, give that ability, Lord, as they cry out to you, as they open up their heart and say, Lord, this is what you're talking to me about. And I want to change. I want to be like you. I want to lay this to one side. I want to stop that. Whatever it is, Lord, as we turn to you and repent toward you and put our faith in Jesus, who has all the life and ability of God. He's able to give us that strength, give us that power, give us that wisdom right now to deal with this thing. And we thank you, Spirit of the living God. We look to you and we ask you for forgiveness for our ignorance in this area. Thank you for shining the light in our heart. Thank you for loving us enough to speak to us. And now, Lord, we turn to Jesus, your Son. Lord, he has the power. We're complete in him. Whatever it is that we have need of, whether we need to go to somebody and say something, go to somebody and confess something, whether it's we have to have answers, whatever it is, Lord, through you, we can do all things. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand to our feet and everybody lift your hands and begin to thank him. Begin to praise him for his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank him for whatever light he shined in your heart today. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. We bless you. We adore you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the name of the Lord. Be glorified in our hearts and lives, Lord. We surrender to you. We surrender our wills. We surrender our life to you. We present our bodies a living sacrifice to you, oh God. A living sacrifice, not a dead one, but a living one, Lord, that it might be a sacrifice every day, that we deny the self the right to rule and reign, and we allow Jesus to rule and reign in our life, in our spirit, in our minds, in our attitudes, in our body. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that we're in you. Thank you, Jesus, that we're part of you. We've been called to fellowship with Jesus, to have a part in you, to have a share in you. And we give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you for your words. Continue to renew our mind with the word of God, with the mindset of Christ, that will be totally transformed into the image of Christ. So, Lord, we just ask, as we go and have our lunch, you bless the food, sanctify it, our body, grant us good health. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, the service is over.